Okay, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. And this chapter begins with, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Last week we, if you remember, we looked at the fact of him being a prisoner, just as he started out chapter 3 with, that he was a prisoner, and he's made mention of that in his writings many, numerous times. He was prisoner, he was in bonds, which is a symbol of him being in prison. Prison for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel sake. Then we looked at, I therefore. Well, I, Paul, therefore, and refers back to what he had said previously. And what did he say previously? Well, he talked about the prayer that he had uttered for the Ephesian church, lest when they saw his afflictions which he endured, to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation of their souls, to be their spiritual father, they faint. So he prayed this prayer that they would be strengthened and on and on and on in the prayer. Then we came to beseech. Not a word we use much today, huh? If I went up to the little children back there and said, I beseech you, they'd look at me, what? What are you talking about? But if I said, I command you, or I exhort you, I admonish you not to do that, because this is the result of it. If you do it, they would understand. It is a Greek word. It means parakaleo. And you notice the similarity there to the Greek word for comforter. Paraclete. Simply one to go alongside of. Well, this is parakaleo, which means to call alongside in order to address, to admonish, to exhort, we would say. We said, and this is where we closed last week, we said Paul is admonishing for the Ephesian church to walk along with him in a manner that is becoming their position. He exhorted others of the same type of thing. And we looked at that last week. We in the book of Acts in chapter 14 and the churches there that was established under he and Barnabas' ministry there in that region, and he exhorted them before leaving. He exhorted them before returning back to Antioch. We looked at a passage in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 where he exhorted the Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica. Continuing with that thought of admonishing, Paul admonishing not only the Ephesians and not only those that we looked at last week, but he in essence is saying you're in the family of God. You got it today? Are you in the family of God? Are you? He says you're in the family of God. You're children of God. And the message we preached this morning, you're children of the King. Yeah, we like that, don't we? But don't tell me how I'm supposed to walk. Right? Well, but Paul is. The Word of God does tell us that we're in the family of God. We're children of God. And because we are children of God and children of the King, then we ought to behave like it. Romans chapter 6. And we're going to look at some of those. I mean, we can't get enough of this because I know in my own life, that's where I fail the most. In my walk. And I'm pretty sure that's where you fail too. The same as my failings. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism, as with Christ, into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we like that, don't we? Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Not like we used to walk. I'm going to use Brother Jesse as an example because I think you all can relate to that. You can go back 15, 16 years to what he was when he walked in here. And what if the Lord saved him? Praise the Lord, he did. And he made that known. I assume he came forward, made that known to you all, that the Lord had saved him. But what if he would have kept coming back here looking the same way he did before? Never changing. Granted, maybe it didn't all happen at once, but you saw a gradual progression of change. Because as he learned, well, this is probably not proper for a Christian. And he'd give it up. He'd get rid of it. I've heard some of the comments, some of the strokes from him and from Brother Bowen. So I've gotten it two-sided, you see. And what a blessing that is. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. So don't think it's strange that the Word of God tells us that. The Word of God tells us that. And because the Word of God tells us that, well, I know it was in Brother Jesse's heart to want to do that. You see. Look with me also at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 7 says, For we walk by faith, not by sight. Boy, there is one maybe we need to put up. I think it would fit. Big letters right across there or across there. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We need to be reminded of that, don't we? How many times you find yourself walking by sight? You see, if I can't taste it, smell it, see it, touch it, I don't want anything to do with it. Right? Isn't that the way we are? Sure it is. Verse 9 said, wherefore? Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Wherefore we labor. Because we're children of the King. We're children of God. We labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That's not that we'll do enough good stuff that He will accept us into glory. That's not what that is. That's an approval. It's like this. Think back when you were children. Before the rebellious state. When you wanted to do what pleased Dad and Mom. You sought their approval. You there? Remember those days? I know some of us got further back to go to remember, but I remember those days. I remember it pretty clear. Nothing delighted me greater than to have Dad's and Mom's approval. That's what this is. We want the approval of our Heavenly Father. And you know what? He's told us what He approves of right here. All we got to do is look in here and we can see what He approves of. We can see what pleases Him. What makes Him happy. What ascends up into His nostrils. A sweet-smelling savor. In verse 17. Oh, that's one we quote a lot, isn't it? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're not what you once were. Then why are we behaving like we once were? We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now let's act like it. Let's behave like it. Let's conduct ourselves. That even governs our speech to one another. Let it be seasoned with grace. Seasoned with salt. You know what grace is? Things that afford pleasure, joy. Scripture says, things wherewith one may be edified, built up. Oh, the tongue can be pretty sharp, can it? Be pretty sharp. Ephesians chapter 5. And yeah, in a few weeks or months, whatever, we'll be there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be therefore. Why for? Well, because you're children, because of how you learned Christ. And because this is how you learned Christ, that you ought to put off the old works of the flesh and that you ought to put on the new. And then he goes through to list what some of the new are. And then he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. What? Imitate God. Just as children imitate their parents. I can remember as a child imitating my dad and imitating my mom. And then as I grew older, it even became more evident that I was my dad's son. And that wasn't any good at all. I just pray that the grace that I've seen at work, have seen at work in my dad's life over the years until the Lord took him home, that my children can see the same and my wife can see the same grace at work in my life that I saw in my dad's. You see. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 6, it says, who being in the form, I'm in Philippians, sorry. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, walk in Him. It's what he said there to the Colossians is very similar to what he said to the Ephesians in chapter 4. You've not so learned Christ. Because you've learned Christ, and this is how you've learned Christ, that you ought to put off. We'll get to that when we get down to verse, 15 or 16 there in the fourth chapter. We'll get to that. You put off these things, the works of the flesh, and you put on these things that are becoming as a child of God. As becometh Christ, you see. So, he says, as members of the family of God, as children of God, as children of the King, then behave like it. Sometimes I pray, and I ought to pray this, I ought to pray it every day. I ought to pray it every day when I get ready to leave the house. I ought to pray it several times during the course of the day. Lord, and help me to remember whose I am. Help me to remember whose I am. Help me to behave as whose I am. Not as a child of the devil, but as a child of God, you see. It'd be a good prayer for us all to pray, would it not? It is important, then, that we understand who we are in Christ. We say we do. We say we love that. But do we really understand whose we are in Christ? I mean, I think the Holy Spirit through Paul was really trying to instruct us in the third chapter, in the first chapter, the second chapter, and the third chapter, and now again in the fourth chapter, who we are in Christ. And the fact that we're a member of His body. What's that mean? After those several messages, what's that mean to you? What's that mean to me? Do you walk out of here and forget that you're a member of the body of Christ? Do you go about your daily activity and forget that you're a member of the body of Christ? as members of the body of Christ, we're to show the world that we're a member of the body of Christ. Everywhere I go, I take every member of me with me. And it's what the world uses to identify me as Seth Bourne. Does the world look at you and identify you as a member of the body of Christ? Do they look at me and identify me as a member of the body of Christ? Wow. Yes, those are sobering thoughts, aren't they? So we ought to understand who we are in Christ. We're in Christ Jesus. Yes. More important, we're a member of the body of Christ. We're in Him. You know, and believe that we are who we are in Christ. And act like who we are. Look, I'm talking to myself as much as anyone. I think Paul was convinced of it. Don't you? Think about Paul's writings. Can you think of any scripture? It says Paul was convinced of that. That of who he was, and that his endeavor was to act like who he was. Well, what about Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8 in verse... Yeah, let's start with verse 1. We're going to end up with verse 2, but... There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. Huh? Who? What? Who walk? Who walk what? According to the Spirit, right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Y'all, what's it mean to walk after the flesh? We're in the flesh. So obviously, where we go, it goes. What's it mean to not walk after the flesh, though? Not to live after the flesh. Follow the desires and passions which are fleshly, which are not godly. Lust. Evil concupiscence. Those type of things. We know what those things are. Covetousness. All works of the flesh. It's what it is to walk after the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He says again, he says, we're free. He told the Galatians, he said, walk in the liberty. What's that liberty? Is that liberty a license to sin? Brother Jesse was asking Brother Ron this morning. Oh, so you're saying grace is a license to sin. Sin all I want. No, that's not the liberty he's talking about. He's talking about the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus to live for Christ Jesus. Before we were bound to sin, We were dead in sin. We were bound to it. And we could not live to Christ. We were dead to Christ. Now we've been set free from the law of sin and death. Free to live for Christ. Now walk in it. What he said. Chapter 9 and verse 1, he said, I say the truth. You see, to say anything but the truth, it's a lie. And he said, in verse 1 there, he said, the Spirit's my witness. I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. And of course, he's talking about the great heaviness and the great sorrow that he had for his kinsmen. Do you have that? Do I have that? You see, if we said we did, would we be lying? And Paul said he wasn't lying, and he said, the Holy Spirit's my witness that I'm not lying. Chapter 12 of Romans. In verse 5, he says, so we being many are one body in Christ. Oh, there he goes again. Talks about one body in Christ, the body of Christ. Wow. And every one members one of another. We're all members of that one body. The body of Christ. Are we all being a good member? Or are we being a member that's in rebellion to our body? My wife's got that problem. Part of her body's in rebellion against her body. And at times it gives her great difficulty and great fits. And we've read of Sister Sid James. That's her problem. She has an autoimmune disease. Part of her body's in rebellion against the rest of her body. And attacking her body. Chapter 16. And closing out his letter to the Romans, he said, in verse 3, he said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. He had a care, a concern. They were members in the body of Christ at a particular church. And then he said in verse 7, he says, and also salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Notice he said of note among the apostles. In other words, the apostles knew of them. And what was that good? Was that bad? What did they know of him? Well, that what they knew was good. They were of Christ. And they lived for Christ. That's what he's saying. Who also were in Christ before me. He said they were saved and they were in Christ Jesus before I was. And they have a great testimony that they're of Christ. What's our testimony? When there's a song we sing, when the world looks at you, what do they see? Who do they see? Do they see Jesus? When the world looks at you? Do they see Jesus? When the world looks at me? Do they see Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 15, he says this, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." Wow. What a blessing to be the spiritual father of one, of many. Paul said he was their father. What did he mean? I was the instrument that God used to preach the gospel to you when He saved your soul. As a spiritual father. And they were to look up to Him as their spiritual father. People say they have a special, so-and-so, brother so-and-so has a special place in their heart. I don't have a problem with that. They're talking about, because they are the ones that delivered the gospel when they were saved. You see, don't you have a special place in your heart for the one who delivered the gospel to you? And I don't have one particular individual. I can tell you the man who was preaching when the Lord saved me. I mean, I was actually saved in a machine shop in Waseon, Ohio. But the church was in a week of meetings, revival meetings, evangelistic meetings, with Brother Roger Jones. And he was the one preaching. And so, yes, I got a special place in my heart for Brother Roger Jones. I think of him often in the presence of the Lord now. But I have many men over the years that were faithful to preach the gospel to me. My mom and dad preached the gospel to me. My mom was faithful. She thought I was a rebellious child of God at the time. But she was a go-getter. She'd write verses of Scripture out on a piece of paper and stick them in my car. Stick them up under the dash of my car. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. Now I got to explain why up under the dash of my car. Because that's where I'd hide my cigarettes. And she'd find my cigarettes, and she'd stick that Scripture verse in those cigarettes. So I have many people that are special to me because they were faithful to minister the Word. Verse 17, he said, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ." Notice that. Of my ways which be in Christ. Listen, and the Holy Spirit led Paul to write this in the Scripture that is preserved for you and I to read it today. Paul's not bragging on himself. He's just telling the fact that the Holy Spirit led him to write. As I teach everywhere in every church. Could we say that our ways are in Christ? Second Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 17, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Praise God. It wouldn't be in here for us to read, would it? But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Wow. Oh, that I could say that concerning my speech and concerning the things that I say, that it's always, oh God, in Christ. In other words, it's the Word of God. And you all don't realize the seriousness, and I'm sincere when I say this, that I never want to get up here with the words of Seth Bourne. I labor, yes, I labor, and I give much thought and much study and research into what I'm going to preach, but I don't want it to be my words. It's got to be the Word of God. I've told you before, I have nothing to say that's worthwhile concerning the Word of God, unless it is the Word of God. Unless it is, thus saith the Lord. It's serious business when I stand back here. And I take it seriously, and I just pray that I've been faithful to guard this pulpit, so that the things that are preached from it are truth. The Word of God. Galatians chapter 2, Paul said this. We know this verse of Scripture well. Galatians 2 and verse 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Well, that were my prayer. That I could say that. That is my prayer. That I be able to say that. And I didn't get as far as I thought I wanted to. There were two more sub-points there that I wanted to address before moving on to